Hi, welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballum. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi everyone, I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us.
All right. Which brings us to another interesting aspect, and this becomes really a strong area for an entrepreneur, and that is leveraging networking.
Yeah, so how do you do that?
Oh, that is a very good one. And, you know, running your company is not something you can do in a vacuum. It just becomes really, really difficult, almost impossible. It's really about having a system that works. And again, this will really be successful or rely heavily on the type of research that the business owner can draw upon.
Mm-hmm.
Networking is something that you have so many tools to help you do that today.
Mm-hmm.
Online tools for you to do for networking. Mm-hmm. And you would see as you create a presence online, people would reach out to you for an opportunity to connect and network
yes.
as well.
Yes.
As a startup, I have a few recommendations. There are actually associations, some funded by the government, that run opportunities for business or entrepreneurs to actually network with others and also learn with other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of those network services is actually sort of a mentorship program. So currently I work with the Scotia Bank runs this particular forum, and it's basically for business owners, not necessarily startup, but some of them could be startup. I currently have two mentees. One of them runs our own Thai company, which is more of a Thai school and Thai service, Thai massage service. And the other one runs our own clinical program. And they've been existing for, one has been existing for more than 10 years, and the other, I think, will figure longer. And you would be paired with a mentor, not only helps you to remain engaged in your local community, but also gives you that opportunity to learn because they are experienced in the field. You get the choice to pick who your mentor is going to be.
Right.
And you draw on that connection you have and build that to support you as you run your business. So those are examples of networking. But those who don't have the opportunity to go into this government-funded program, because they also have training designed for these entrepreneurs, and you can pick what sort of training you want, areas you want to develop on. But there's also examples like something called back.com, where
right.
you can go in and actually write about yourself and advertise a mentor or a business consultant.
So right.
consult with and get some advice. And a lot of them may be at a paid cost. The Scotiabank one is free, but some actually paid. Also, yeah, you know, you're actually getting paid savings, but at a very reasonable cost for an entrepreneur. So these are two platforms that I actually work with, but these are great ways to start, you know, going to the community and seeing some support that are available to you.
I really like that. And I think the point you made about, you know, what the government does here, you know, we are very fortunate in Canada to live in a very well-resourced country. But it still astounds me that there are so many people, that Canadians themselves, who don't realize just how much bang for their buck their tax money can give them with all these services the government provides, you know, and just some, they're just waiting to help you. So, yeah, I found that. The other thing you said earlier on, which I want to highlight, because I think it's a profound networking tool, is the joining a professional society.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, you know, people that come to these. My experience has been, you know, one of my mentors once said to me, he did the majority of his recruitment via professional societies. And I said to him, why? You know, in fact, that's how you recruited me. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, because people that want to give of their time, spare time, extra time, voluntarily, to learn more about their craft.
Mm-hmm.
That says something. That speaks to him, right? That speaks to me about somebody that's hungry, that wants to go places. And essentially, you mean, you do get some parasites, but by and large, those are the people you meet in professional societies. Many of these people are there because they're highly motivated in their profession.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so it's kind of filters out a lot of stuff, and you tend to get to meet some really, really and smart people. Of course, there are always people there who are looking for people to mentor or fund, or because they know that's a place where you can filter those sort of people out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sort of advice you get as well, because a lot of people have actually gone through what you're going through. So it's a journey they've gone through. They get to share pitfalls with you. They get to share what was successful for them. And you get the opportunity to actually go over some of the challenges that you're having, like the Scotia one. Every week is already tailored to what topic to consider for each section. And those are very helpful for entrepreneurs, very helpful for this. Owners to get that mentor guide them through what they are dealing with, what they are going through. So absolutely, lots of resources out there.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah.
Which brings us to a very interesting topic, because when we talk about entrepreneurship and we talk about, you know, starting a business, we always think there are the challenge or the pitfalls at the beginning. And then once you've gotten through that, it's all easy sailing. But we also forget that the world that we're in, it doesn't matter what industry, every business operates in an open system, one that is prone to, you know, being around an environment that is never static, right? It changes a lot.
Right.
So let's look into or share with our listeners some of those pitfalls. Start. We've already mentioned quite a few at the start, and of course, during the journey, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for me, I think the thing about a pitfall is you can, you know, you can recover after you've fallen into it, or you can just step aside, right? You don't have to fall in. And so one of the things I think the pitfalls is your degree of self-knowledge and, should we call it, congruence or self-reflection, self-learning, self-honesty, either you want to categorize that. But know yourself, I think, is a huge one right from the beginning for all entrepreneurs. And that's why a mentor is sometimes really helpful, or a coach, because you've got to become very, very honest very, very quickly before you press the start button. This is who I am. This is where I'm strong. This is where I'm weak. And where I'm weak, I've got to find ways to mitigate that. You can't just ignore that. And more importantly, this is where I'm really strong, and this is where I want to focus, even if apparently a small market segment, but that's where I want to focus. I mean, these niche today, because of our technology niche, the niche is so important to understand. And if you have a niche idea, not to give up on that. So self-knowledge. And so, for example, you know, I just did another leadership profile for a voluntary organization that I'm part of, it was Toastmasters, and I got my results last night of my leadership profile. And I mean, I knew this was coming, but my lowest score is for bureaucracy. So, you know, I'm not an accountant. I'm not good at that stuff. I always have to have somebody with me that's good at that, you know, can get the numbers out, sorted out for me in line, clear. So I can read the numbers, but the organization, very, very detailed mind, I have to have somebody with me doing that. Otherwise, I crash and burn. So self-knowledge is number one. The number one pitfall for entrepreneurs is they don't know who they are, and they think they can be everything to all people, including themselves, and you can't. We all have limits to our capacities, and we've got to become clear about those limits. And we all have amazing strengths and become very clear about what those strengths are. So that'd be number one for me. And number two is how you position yourself in the market. And the danger there is too big too quickly, or to be try and be too much to everybody. Nobody can do everything. Nobody believes somebody that says they can do everything. You know, if somebody comes to a job interview with me and I, I asked them, you know, what can you do? And then they said, like, pretty much everything. Well, that's God. That's not a person. You know, and that's all. That's somebody just deluded. Okay, so you've got to be clear. This, and you articulate that with your clients. And, you know, we live in a world now where people can check, especially if I'm in, very, very quickly on are you who you are? Are you who you say you are? Do you have the expertise that you say you have? So as an entrepreneur, my cautionary note is don't try and position yourself too big too quickly. And in fact, there's real market wisdom in that because you don't want to frighten your competitors so they think of squashing you at the beginning. You know, so rather slightly more humble approach. This is what I do. I do these few services or this service really well. And you take that and run with it in depth, then try and cover too much. And number three for me, with that clear focus, is can you run this business or this in such a way that you're able to attain work-life balance? You know, there's a little thing which says, you know, first you own a business, then it owns you, then you own the business again. And that's when you've matured, okay? But this idea that you can work 24 hours a day, all weekends, every holiday, and that's the way, you know, that you're going to achieve success is really not intelligent because you're going to burn out. And even if you don't burn out, you're not going to become an interesting person because you're going to narrow, your whole personality is going to start narrowing down. I've met people like this, you know, who have burnt very, very quickly, very, very hard. And I can just see that they're becoming less of a human being, you know, becoming less interesting to talk to. They're just obsessed with this one thing. And we're not made like that as human beings. So what you do cannot possess you. Might be interesting. You might like it. But you've got to structure in such a way that it cannot possess you. You've still got family. You've still got friends. You've still got interests.
I agree.
And I believe that is possible. I do believe that is possible. You don't have to work every weekend. You know, people for a long time have like been shocked. Various clients, I've had these difficult conversations where they've said, oh, what about, you know, Saturday or can we meet? I said, sorry, Saturday and Sunday are off limits for me. And they look at me and said, crazy. You know, I said, no. And also, no, unless it's an absolute emergency, the answer is no, because I need downtime and time with my family. I need time with myself. And I'm really happy I've held those boundaries, you know, because, yeah, it's helped me stay a reasonable human being and I haven't burnt out. So, you got to be clear about that, that what you do, and if you're operating within your core strengths and capabilities, then you actually will be able to do it easily because what you do, part of it is going to be easy for you because you love it so much because you're good at what you do already. And then for that, you won't have to work extra hard. This whole idea that you were to suffer to make it is, oh, I only known through suffering. Oh, rubbish, man. That's the default setting. We actually should be doing because we're having a good time.
Yeah. And I agree with that balance as well. You know, starting to learn how to balance things not only is to the benefit of the entrepreneur because you start working with people and they start role modeling what you're doing. So if you don't have a balance, then you're not building your business for success because other people as well, they will struggle to maintain their own balance. So it's you being able to, you know, reflect what you want others to have, right? So the ability to have a balance, wherever that is for you, it would be something that people will pick up from you as well. They will see how you are, how you're working, are you able to balance? And they can learn from you as well. I always say to leaders, you cannot balance your time. You're going to struggle to have employees who could do the same. And those who prioritize that will probably leave. So that's a very, very good tip that we have to look into, yeah. Especially when starting out, because there's so much to navigate starting up a business. So finding how I'm going to structure that, because a lot of entrepreneurs actually have a full-time job at the beginning. So how are you managing this? How are you navigating this? And my advice based on that drawing from John is the reaching out to people who have done it and what.
Yes.
Where it is, yes. To know how they're doing, because it's not like a secret formula. It will be different from one person to the other, but you could get insight into ways to actually manage anything that will come along and also manage your home schedule as well. One advice I have, and this one was something that took me a while to actually use and learn, because technology is not for everyone, and I do get that. We are at different areas of the emerging technology adoption. There's a spectrum. We're at different ends of the outsides of level of that spectrum. So for me, my advice would be using tools or software tools to support your business. And these tools are not only essential for you at the beginning when you're doing your research, but you can also use them to monitor. You can also use them to navigate and use them to pivot. So I want to share a few tools. Some of them are free and some of them require some sort of subscription. One of them is SurveyMonkey. Everyone uses SurveyMonkey. You can use SurveyMonkey to get feedback. In terms of, if you've met with some consultants or if you've met with some stakeholders, you can get feedback. And feedback is something that we need. You can also get feedback on a service you've done, feedback on product you want to launch. Again, whatever feedback that is, you're able to gain real-time analysis of your data.
Right.
Google Analytics is another one. You can use Google Analytics to track things that happen on the website that you design. And the basic level of Google Analytics is free. In fact, as a business, the one that we use, the level we use, is absolutely free. Well, we can analyze and track the people that come onto our website. We can track the behavior of people coming to our website in terms of what did they click on, what did they open, and we use those to make decisions and changes. Other tools are not so expensive. These social media tools like I think it's called Hootsuite.
Yes.
Or the Brand Watch. Those ones are really good because if you take a lot of effort into your social media platform, you want to understand how is this working. Even LinkedIn has analytics to understand the posts that you put on.
Yes.
How engaging it was, that goes a long way. There are so many tools out there, market research platforms that are out there that you can use. We actually use YouGov and we use Nielsen. Those are really free. You can use them for free. There are also tools that you can consider when it comes to getting information around your product, around your services, around the workshop that you could adopt. Again, research.
Yes, I agree.
They're really important. And that's what's been helping us. If you're into data analytics, like I am in my research, Tableau is a great tool. Tableau not only tells you about things within your organization, it can also project information and help you find patterns and trends when it comes to the data that you get from outside. So again, research. It helps you to stay prepared. It helps you to navigate situations around your business. Most importantly, helps you to pivot. So that's mine.
Absolutely. And you know, what you're saying there is just, it's just ringing so many bells in my head, you know, because research and calling for feedback is listening, right? It's listening to the environment, to the total environment, listening to your clients, deep listening, in fact. That's what it is. And that is so, so critical to understand and to call for that feedback. You know, thing that I love, what Stephen Covey said, that feedback is a breakfast of champions.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
All right, John, to wrap up today, what final words of encouragement or wisdom do you have to share for aspiring entrepreneurs who are about to start the journey, who are in the journey? What can we just wrap up with?
Okay, so I would say that number one, get a coach, get a mentor. And I say this because they can speed up the learning process hugely for you. If you've been listening to this podcast, for example, and you want the sources that Gifty has just shared, these electronic platforms, you might not have known about any of those. Now, you can have somebody sitting opposite you who could tell you directly, here's what you could do. So just want to conclude that what I've said there by saying, you know, that when I meet people that believe they can do it on their own, anything in life on their own, I feel deeply sorry for them. That because we actually do things in community. We learn in community. We have to have community around us. And so one of the quickest ways to accelerate your learning, and I found this throughout my entire life, is to develop a high trust relationship with a highly qualified person in the field that I want to learn. There's many other things we've talked about, but that would be one of the starting blocks for me.
That's a very good one.
And for you?
I think for me, we kind of focus a lot on those who are starting it. My last friend and giver will probably be those who are already going on in terms of their entrepreneurship or business running. Right. We actually, and this draws on the fact that I'm an educator, there's a platform called Ripen. And this particular platform, a lot of students today learning all sorts of disciplines, and they need that opportunity to actually practice what they're learning.
Yes.
And want to merge that with somebody who is running a business and don't have the time to do the research. So bringing the research with the practical. And this particular platform does not cost money to register. Of course, there are different levels of services you can have in there. But the very basic for me, in terms of recommendation, is use safeness, spending time to create a program, create a project, something you want to do. For example, you want to do market research in your specific industry, or you want to do a project launch or a product launch, or you want to do a product, whatever it is. This is just an example. Create this platform and then post it. Reach out to institutions and educators who have students who may be interested in that field and need that opportunity to practice. Everything is dedicating a few hours a week to the student, 1 or 2 hours a week, to be able to help them understand what you're looking for. And not only do they get the opportunity to practice, you get the opportunity to have research on whatever it is that you want, and you get the opportunity to teach, opportunity to learn from the student as well. So it's such a beautiful 360 all the way around learning that I really, really, I kind of find fascinating. And I'd love to recommend that to those who are already starting their business and need support. And the best way to do that is to get students who want to learn.
That's
a good match. Yeah.
Just repeat the name of the platform again for our listeners, because it was a bit in this.
Properly, it's Ripen. So that's Romeo, India, India, Papa, Echo in November. Ripen.
Ripen. Yep. Lovely. That's a lovely resource. Well, thanks for today, Greg. Great chatting, man. It was wonderful. I learned a lot.
It's always a pleasure, John, to have these conversations and we can, talk about our own experiences and get people to, draw upon those.
Yes.
But also, we also love hearing from things as well. We're hoping that we're on Spotify, people can actually listen more in terms of audience being wider, broader. Feedback as well. We encourage feedback. Any area of interest you want us to touch on, free to do so.
Absolutely. Lovely. Well, I guess till next time, we don't want to keep our listeners too long. I guess they've got things to do, places to go.
Thank you for your time, Don. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Balam.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.